Why are people listening to this? Is a podcast about music. You already know that if you're listening to this. Why do I keep saying that every week?
It's good. There may be a new listener.
There could be one new listener.
Hello there, Janice.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. My name's Jake, and I'm here with my sidekick, Justin.
What up?
And we're having, we're revisiting a topic that we've only really talked about once.
Okay.
Which is K-pop. K-pop.
Love it.
Korean pop music with Blackpink's hit song, Pink Venom.
Wait, did we talk about Korean pop before?
We had the BTS song.
Oh, right.
Butter.
Course.
Butter.
Yes. But this is Blackpink.
This is Blackpink. This is a cooler. Whole other thing.
It's a whole other thing.
So I was not familiar with this group.
Okay.
And you were.
I saw the documentary on Netflix about Blackpink.
Okay. I'll have to watch it because I do watch Netflix.
Absolutely fascinating. It made me actually appreciate everything that's going on in Korean pop, especially this group.
Yeah. I found this to be an interesting case study about popular music from outside of American and Western European aesthetics. I mean, it has a lot of it. Like, it's very, very, it seems very clear to me that they are stealing in a good way, like, and citing their sources to a certain extent of everything that goes on with this song. When I listened to it, I was like picking out, like, okay, they took that from this, and they took that from this, and they took that from this. And we just watched the music video, and as listeners know on the podcast, I tend to not watch music videos. But actually, this is the first one that I actually watched the music video the first time that I listened to it. And it definitely is essential to, I think, the medium of K-pop. Like the visual.
The dances that go with it,
Yeah, I find like with a lot of like American popular music, you can listen to the song for the song. And then the music video is something that is done in a marketing context to go along with it. Like, okay, we're going to do the song. Now we have to shoot the music video. But with K-pop, I feel like if this is anything to go by, that like it's a total package. You know, like the visuals is quintessential for you to get the entire experience of what the song is.
And the dance routine is built into it.
It's highly choreographed. And I think that it's like the remnants of like early MTV where like the 90s
deal.
And you know, and I don't feel like that's necessarily, but what, like, I don't know, I'm not watching music videos for dance groups or hip hop groups like this. Like, I'm sure they still do choreographed dance stuff, but this is highly, highly, highly choreographed and highly visual.
Yeah. And it's like you said, the citing your sources thing, that's a good way to phrase what they're doing. Cause like they're quite clearly borrowing for each of the sections from a different, like hip hop historical genre. And in the video, you also see like when they put in that like West Coast rap style, like they dress up like that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So that like, oh, okay. They know exactly what
they're
doing.
What they're doing. Yeah. I mean, when I first put it on, I have no idea who this group is because I didn't source this. Billboard is usually where I go to just because that's a, historically been the marker for what's a hit song. Of course, that's a dated model, and so lately to get into newer things, I've been sourcing from YouTube Music and Spotify and whatnot. And this was, I think, YouTube, the top trending song on YouTube last week or the week before. And so I clicked on it, and it brought the music video, and I was like, oh, well, might as well watch the whole thing. And the very opening bars of the song are direct quotes from Notorious B.I.G., kicking the door, waving the 4-4, and sort of it's the Notorious B.I.G. lyric, something about Papa, don't hit me no more. I don't remember what it is, but anyways, it's like off of his first record, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, well, that's interesting that these Eastern women are familiar with that repertoire, and which is not so unbelievably surprising,
again,
but
with this group, like this is a, especially if you watch a documentary, K-pop is an industry, and there are a ton of industry people behind these people. So like they are the front of a, like the tip of a spear, right?
And then sure.
So there are hundreds of people working on the marketing. So like there's songwriters who are maybe even from like the U.S. Like,
yeah,
right, who are
working directly with yeah. K-pop
and they are talented and
labels. Yeah,
and they might write and do their own stuff, but like it's just, you gotta think of this as a team of like 500
people who are working song. On writing the song. Yeah. Did you look at the songwriting credits at all? I never looked at the songwriting credits. That'd be hilarious to see how many people wrote this song. But anyways, the things that I really kind of like liked about it were, well, one of the things, and I know that you probably like this as well, I'm not, you know, knowing you personally, is how much language there is.
Yeah, I thought there was more than more languages than there were. I looked at the lyrics. It's Korean and English, but they do sing, they do stuff in Japanese, and one of the members is from Thailand.
Okay.
And one of them is, she's Korean, but from New Zealand. And so, like,
gotcha.
they're using a lot of languages.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. I love that, like, while I was listening to it, their English pronunciation is great. Like, it was obvious when they were speaking English, and I could understand everything that they were saying, which you can't necessarily say for every non-American group. But I know that a lot of Korean people grow up speaking English because they learned it in school. And just the dominance of the English language culturally across the globe, you know, is always going to be there.
Yeah, and they practice and they train, and you could still hear a bit of an accent in one or two words.
Yeah, yeah.
But for
yeah.
the most part, it's 1,000% correct.
Yeah, no. They just go into the studio, and that doesn't sound as crisp enough.
Yeah. So the producers here, written by Teddy Park. Do you know Teddy Park?
No idea.
I don't know who that is. 24. RT, Danny Chung, and IDO. I don't know any of those names. They could all be Korean.
Yeah. But
that's already 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people working on it, let alone all the rest of the people. Teddy Park is a name that sounds so familiar. I'm going to just quickly Google this guy.
Funny. I believe Park is a Korean name.
Yes. Korean-American.
There you go.
Korean-American, moved to the U.S. Mega producer.
In the K-pop kind of thing?
He's in all sorts of stuff.
Okay.
He's our age-ish. He's 43. Look at that.
Well, good for him.
So he's been busy. He has been busy. Anyway, yeah.
No, I loved when they were like moving in between Korean and English.
But in the code switching within the same sentence, which is cool.
Yeah, yeah. Because that sucked my attention in.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because I don't speak a word of Korean. I don't know any Korean. Like,
well, that's why
other Asian languages, I might know how to say hello.
Yeah, and again, this is a well thought out group, right? Because like they appeal to Gen Zs all over the planet. Like my niece is into these guys.
You know? Oh yeah, wow!
And like she was living in Germany, and now she's living in Canada. She speaks a bunch of languages too. Like,
yeah,
and like it because they speak English, it's accessible to everyone. They throw in some Chinese, some Japanese, some Thai, or whatever, and then boom, you just.
Yeah.
People light up at that concept. Yeah.
And it's so polished, but at the same time, it doesn't feel to me like we've listened to a lot of other overproduced, very polished productions, like anything that had Justin Bieber on it and some of the other stuff that sounds just very clean. This is incredibly clean sounding.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's shiny. It's nice. It's like somebody took a ruler and measured everything.
Yes, exactly.
And, while I recognize that after the fact and usually wish that these things sound more organic, this doesn't work if it sounds organic. Like, it has to be
sloppy.
Like, yeah, it has to be like precision. Like, this kind of music, this kind of pop music is like surgery. It's like musical surgery, which is probably why like a lot of people might find it cold and just kind of robotic. And I understand that. But that's why I find the music video and experiencing the entire medium of it to be important, because if you don't do that and you only listen to the song, like if I was only listening to the song, I would probably hit next track.
Yeah.
not because it's bad or anything, but it's not part of what they're trying to pull you into. They want you to see the dancing. They want the lights. They want the glitz. They want the background dancers and the four or five beautiful young Asian women that are
on
chosen, screen,
yeah,
right?
They're chosen for
who
that.
Who are like, 100% cherry-picked. Yep, and that's been happening since the 1960s in America, you know?
Yeah.
And that was the rebirth of the bubblegum pop era of the late 90s, you know, Britney and
Christina.
Christina and Justin Timberlake and a number, any number of these pop stars that all either had one hit or multiple hit wonders. A lot of those people were involved in other television shows. They were
like Disney.
They were, yeah, Mickey Mouse Gang or whatever the hell they were.
They're a product.
They were on Nickelodeon when they were nine and groomed. You know, it's like, well, let's see what happens when they hit puberty. And then it's like, yep, all right, great. Send them out there. You know, yeah, because they look great.
Yeah.
Right. And these are all attractive young women who are able to deliver, at least in the music, in the recording studio.
Well, they are. I mean, if you see that documentary, like, there are just factories that are churning out people, you know, and they go through all these levels of practice. Like, so these are people who are dedicating every moment of their lives to getting good at this.
Yeah.
Dancing, singing, rapping.
And well, it's a very different, like, cultural. It has everything to do with, like, sort of like Asian cultures and, like, perfection.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's something that definitely does exist. And if they're looking at the potential of wealth, great wealth, like, they're going to go crazy for it.
Yeah. Like, and so that system produces people who are skilled. So, like, the fact that they're in this group, they're already going to be bringing it.
Sort of the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
Like the people who were not washed out.
Yes, exactly.
And so I'd be interested to know, just because I don't listen to K-pop or J-pop or C-pop or anything like that, in terms of just like, what are the groups that don't make it sound like? Because they probably sound pretty good.
They probably all sound the same.
You know, there's going to be, is it just the luck of the draw of who breaks through the noise? Like, that's what's so interesting about it, because if this group sounds everything like another group, and that group is full of beautiful young Asian women who can dance and wear makeup and sing in multiple languages and steal rhymes from Notorious B.I.G. What breaks through the noise?
It's like it reminds me of the publishing industry, which I know more about, book publishing.
Yeah. And
that, like, every large book publisher will invest in some books that it thinks could be bestsellers. And they pump a ton of money and a ton of time into the books, into the editing phase, and then into the marketing and publicity phase. And everyone thinks that that book has a shot. And then you wait to see what happens once it gets in the market. And some of them rise up and a lot of them fail. And nobody's 100% sure why. If they knew why, they could pick the ones from the beginning. But they don't. Like, they're guessing. And so these groups are the same way. Like, maybe there's something about the backstories of these particular girls. Maybe the song that they led with just was catchy in the right way.
At the right time. Lightning in
a bottle. And so I think they're bunging these groups out there, thinking about them, you know, curating them and crafting them. And yet, just like a book, you don't know if people actually like it or not until they start listening to it or reading it. You know,
but that's how the music industry was in the 60s and in the 70s and the 80s. Only they didn't exist in this factory type setting, or like they're not looking at things from a metric point of view. It's like, okay, it seems to be what's popular is, okay, they're between the ages of 19 and 23, and they're between 5'3" and 5'5", and, you know, like, this skin tone, and like as much as the metrics as these factories are like looking at, it's like alto, tenor, you know, all the vocal ranges, and who can rap and who cannot, who's better at dancing, put them in front of the camera for that, blah, 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 blah. In the 70s and 80s, the music industry, when it was making hand over fist, you know, they were handing out record contracts to people just like, we'll sign anybody because we don't know necessarily who's going to get it. And then you have a Motley Crue, let's say, as example, comes out so huge that it makes so much money for the record label that it paid for all of the failed record contracts.
Same as book publishing.
Yeah.
You have one or two mega acts.
Same idea, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a business model that, like, I think is, like, going the way of the dodo in some ways, just because of self-publishing now,
because of YouTube and TikTok
and the internet.
Yeah, you rise up without any team behind you, by
exactly,
and it's flummoxing those, like, traditional book publishing is trying to figure out how to work with the social media marketing stuff, because that produces its own stars, you know. And this is the same stuff, like, yes, this is from one of those mega, you know, companies that's done all the metrics, and but they're competing against people who just show up randomly on YouTube who get just as many views. And so So yeah, it's a different world out there. You can't just do factory stuff, but this factory stuff works still.
And even within that, you have to play by the rules of the nature of the internet now, because you have to play the social media game, or else it's not going to work anyways.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You
like
can't.
Like nobody. I don't know how anybody stays relevant without having social media.
Especially like imagine Blackpink, but they didn't show. They didn't have any videos. They just toured around.
Nothing would happen with
them. There'd be nothing.
Yeah,
that is
they're
part
just
of
doing
what they
shows.
Are. Yeah, they're just a touring Korean touring group. Everyone Korean, would be like, "Who band. Cares?
Blackpink? Who cares?"
Yeah. But yeah, that's part of the package.
Yeah.
It's rolled into TikTok.
Yeah,
and all that.
Really, it's I find like with this particular example more than anything else we've done that entire package really is what makes this a hit. Otherwise, it just if it didn't have. So some of all of its parts, if it didn't have a huge social media presence and the factory thing and the label behind it and the videos and the look and all that kind of stuff, it just would fall flat on everybody's ears.
If this same song, it was just you and I singing it, it would not work.
No, it would not work.
I could not fit into those outfits. I don't have the same moves.
Yeah, I don't have their cheekbones. No.
No, I don't have the cheekbones. So, like, yeah, so, no, it's the whole package, not just the song. The song is irrelevant in a way. Like the song,
yeah.
These days, like with a K-pop song, you're like, okay, you've got 15 people producing it. It'll sound good.
Yep. It'll sound clean and tight and in tune. And
it's, yeah. And nowadays, like, it could be.
Transitions are there and whatever. Right. Like,
so maybe it's the choreography that sells this one. You know what I mean? Or maybe, you know what I mean? Like, who knows what it is that makes it popular? Anyway.
I do think it's a combination of everything.
Well, then I think you're right. It's the package deal. When the package comes together, boom.
It's just. I'd say luck of the draw would break through the noise, and then you get a hashtag, and then your next song is going to have a better chance of breaking through.
Exactly. So, yeah. I mean, I enjoy listening to this song. It's fun. Watching it with the video is fun, too. Like, we get so angry at other songs, but there's nothing to get angry about.
Yeah, this is kind of benign.
Yeah, you know what you're getting. You know what they've done.
Yeah.
There's no surprises.
Yeah, they're not pretending to be anything that they're not.
No.
Like, they're not like, oh, we're great artists.
No, they don't.
No, they're like, we are a machine. We, you know, it's like, we are Borg. Resistance is futile.
We will assimilate
your ears. Yeah.
Yeah. And they did. They assimilated it. It's fine. I enjoyed it. I mean, I'm not going to go listen to this.
No.
Seek it out.
Considering the crap that we've listened to recently, this is great.
Yeah. It's interesting. Because. Yeah. You'd think listening to us, we would hate this kind of stuff, but actually, strangely, it's compelling.
I just find it unoffensive, and the subject of it to be fascinating.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we'll play it for the people.
We'll play it for the people.
Janice, I hope you enjoy this song. Yeah, thanks for joining the podcast.
Janice, I hope you have a great day.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And take care of yourself.
Enjoy your Pink Venom.
Bye. Bye. You couldn't get a dollar out of me. 다 오늘 밤이야 눈 속을 품은 꽃 네 혼을 뺏은 잠 Look what you made us do. 천천히 널 잠재울 fire 잔인할 만큼 아름다워 I bring the pain like This that pink venom This that pink venom This that pink venom Get em Straight to your dome like This, that pink venom, this, that pink venom, this, that pink venom.
I bring the pain like ra-ta-ta-ta, 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 ra-ta-ta-ta.
Why Are People Listening to This is brought to you by the Black Box Collective and Outside the Lines Press. And it's produced by me, Jake Hanlon, and my friend Justin Gregg.
If you enjoyed the show, please give us a rating and maybe a review on the Apple Podcast Store. This is the number one thing you can do to help out the show, strangely enough. And it's simple and it's easy and you can do it right now.